Tentacles of the deep state infiltrated every facet of American culture. The public education system, entertainment industry, and mainstream media have all been hijacked by a shadow government intent on fomenting a communist revolution in the United States. The antagonistic message of this agenda has poisoned the minds of America's youth, who are now convinced that capitalism and conservatism are responsible for the ills of the world. Violent protest, widespread destruction, and politicians who insist on letting the disassociated vent their rage will bring America to her knees, threatening to decapitate the laws, principles, and values on which the country was founded. Stay tuned for my conversation with author Mark Goodwin in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, Dolores said. You talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Mark, welcome back to Soaring Eagle Radio.
Pastor Mike, it's always a pleasure to be on Soaring Eagle. I thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a blessing, Mark. You're a great friend, and we have some great conversations, and so I appreciate you joining me. One feature above all that is prominent in all the books that you write, Mark, and I think that listeners will agree, is this. Your novels really are in tune with the times, and they present a very realistic look at what most Americans are observing. You really do write about what is going on in America and indeed the world today, and Ava's Crucible is certainly no exception to that. Now, I don't want to spoil the storyline, but what is Ava's Crucible? What do you have in mind for this book and then the series? And I believe I'm correct in saying you intend for this to be a three-book series. What's your goal for this series, Mark?
It's kind of like that Pinky and the Brain question, you know. We're going to do the same thing we do every day, Pinky, trying to take over the world, you know. But it's always the same. It's trying to wake people up and call people into a deeper relationship with Jesus. You know, and I think that's two things that is largely missing in America, but it's really largely missing in the American church. And I'm so happy that you've finally written your book, Pastor Mike, that's attempting to do that as well.
Yes. Well,
which
thank
yours
you,
is not your, yours from the nonfiction and mine from the fiction, from that blurb, that you read, folks might not understand that it is a fiction book.
Yeah. Cause it sounded like real time. That could have been taken right out of today's newspaper in the editorial column for what's happening in America. That's why I read it. Cause I thought, this is fiction, but this is real.
PJ Media had an article last week on Drudge Report. The title was L.A. Antifa Group Hangs Trump in Effigy, Calls for Revolutionary Violence Against the Capitalist State. So You don't have to be, you don't have to like work yourself to death to try to come up with some kind of a post-apocalyptic tagline for a book, because they're all over the news.
Yes.
You know, so, you just, so you know, if you've got a grain of creativity, you can write a character and put them in the very near future of where this country's headed. You know, you've got no shortage of material to write about if you're a post-apocalyptic author.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, and you mentioned, in Antifa, it seems like, Mark, this aggressive and violent extremism by leftists, and it doesn't matter whether they're Antifa, they're Black Lives Matter, La Raza, the Hispanic racist group, or the new Black Panthers, every other hate group out there, it seems like they're becoming increasingly violent. And I think Americans, and I hope I'm wrong, I think Americans are starting to see this as, this seems more like the norm now than the exception, because almost daily we're hearing about this stuff. What's your thoughts on that, Mark?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, I wish the plot line to Ava's Crucible, I wish it was fiction, you know, and I wish a second civil war. I wish it was just hyperbole or some grim vision of the future, yeah. Or some threat that I've blown out of proportion in my books for the sake of fiction. But I'm afraid my books are going to turn out to be a sugar coated version of reality once all the chips have fallen, and because it's nonstop. And you know, we're not in an election cycle, and so we're not seeing those groups like Antifa get explosive as we will once the election cycles roll back around. But you know, that article I just mentioned about them hanging Trump in effigy and calling for a violent revolution shows that you know they've by no means went away. We're not hearing about them as much right now, but when the election cycle comes back around, they're gonna rear their ugly heads again, and we'll see all those groups you just mentioned, and I'm afraid they're all going to be co-opted by the socialist communist agenda that's been pushing America to the left for 44 decades now, I believe.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Maybe a little more. Maybe if you want to go back to FDR.
I think you're right there. It's certainly the seeds were being planted in the 40s, and they were beginning to sprout in the 50s. It was pretty obvious to a lot of people that the handlers and those that were in control of things kind of suppressed that reality. One of the things I liked about Ava's Crucible, Mark, was that the setting, Ava is a 29-year-old single woman whose mother was a very serious, Jesus-loving Christian, raised her up that way. Through a series of events, Ava became very disillusioned with Christianity and with the church. That is very typical today, in my experience. Lots of folks are just leaving the church. They're dismayed over what they're seeing, or perhaps a better way to say it, Mark, would be they're dismayed because of what they're not seeing and they're not hearing. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And when you get a pastor like Mike Spalding or somebody like that, you can bet that there is a bullseye on that man's back, and you need to be covering that person in prayer daily. You need to be praying for your pastors. The apostate ones out there that are preaching the feel good messages and trying to make everybody comfortable and fill in pews and all of that, they never fall. Nothing ever happens to them, because Satan's got them exactly where he wants them. And if you've got somebody out there affecting the culture, he's doing everything he can to take that person down. So keep your pastor, if you do have a good pastor, keep that man just covered in prayer of protection, that God would put a legion of angels around that man to keep him from harm and from temptation as well, because that's a big one. You know, the pastor in Ava's Crucible is based on the actual experience that we had at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. Bob Coy was – he affected – he changed the culture in Fort Lauderdale. In much of the Bible Belt, everybody goes to church. The chickens go to church. The cows go to church. It's just what you do. It's a social thing. If you don't go to church, then you don't – it's you don't belong to the culture. And they're cultural Christians on the same level that a lot of Jews in Israel are Jewish. You know, they go to temple and they more or less keep the holidays and things like that. But they're not real. They're not like the Hasidic Jews that actually try to follow the law and do all the things that they do. It's just a cultural thing. And that's so prominent in the Bible Belt. In South Florida, if you go to church, you're kind of a weirdo. So anybody that's going to church, just automatically, you're sort of, you know, you're already going to deal with, you know, some minor level of persecution. Just the fact that that's how you spend your Sunday, because people are going to look at you weird. And so Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, Bob Coy came out, founded that from California, and he built a rehab center there, Calvary House, which I went through. They've got a really big thing for teen moms that get pregnant. They've got a program that's housing the foster children, because foster care is in such a crisis, and, you know, abuse is rampant in the foster system. And so, you know, through Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, they started bringing, the church started getting involved in foster care and cutting out that abuse and showing these kids real love and telling them who Jesus is and that kind of thing. It's just ministry after ministry, divorce care, grief care, cancer care. There's hundreds, literally hundreds of ministries at this church. It's one of those, it's a mega church, you know, but it's one of those that's not like a Joel Osteen type thing. You know, Bob Coy was pretty hard on sin, very big on grace, and a very, very effective communicator that really, really affected his culture. And Satan had a mark on his back, and through adultery, through an adulterous affair, he took him out and took him out of that position. And I'm not saying that, you know, that Bob Coy was a victim by any means, you know. With that temptation, God also provides a way out. No temptation has taken you except that which is common to man. So when he failed to take that door, you know, he made a choice the same as Adam and Eve and every single one of us that's fallen short have. And I'm not saying that that's on the same level, because, you know, you really, really betray a big trust as a pastor when you make a choice like that.
Yeah, so true. And that was one of the things. And I think I told you, Mark, when I was reading Ava's Crucible, and I came to that section, it felt like, honestly, folks, it felt like somebody had just hit me right in the chest with their fist. I mean, it almost... It just took the wind right out of me, because as Mark was writing this, I could just feel his heart and how crushing that whole experience was. And it's not that Bob was put on a pedestal. That's not the point. It's that God had worked through this man and through the staff and all of the believers that came alongside of Bob and believed in this ministry and what God was doing. Lives were changed by the hundreds, if not the thousands. Lives were changed, impacted for eternity. And then Satan got his way and took him out. And I actually pause when I'm reading through that. And I read it to my wife, Kathy, because one of the paragraphs you wrote, Mark, was so in your face, brutal, but honest, and it gave such a stark spiritual picture that it just, I just paused. And the equivalent of it was this. I'll paraphrase it because I didn't bookmark it, and I'm not prepared to read it now. If I had thought about that earlier, I would have. But the equivalent of it is this, guys. If you're listening to this, then this is for you, guys, especially. Pastors, if you're listening, any kind of ministry leader, elder, deacon, I don't care what you're doing, Sunday school teacher. And it equally applies to women. I don't mean to say that. I'm not trying to exclude the harm that can happen when women fall as well. But guys, listen. If you're going to commit adultery, if you're going to cheat on your wife, whether you're physically doing it or through pornography, it is the moral, the spiritual equivalent of offering your wife and your children, your family up as a blood sacrifice to Satan. You're placing them on an altar and you are running a dagger into their heart, because when it is exposed, and it will be, your marriage is going to be in serious, serious trouble, if not ended completely. And that's the goal. Destroy the Christian individual, destroy the families if possible, and the church by extension. Mark, you did a fantastic job of handling that whole situation and then translating that into the impact that it had on Ava and her friends as they tried to make their way through that time of disillusionment. And I thought that was a very powerful plot twist that you had in there, and I really applaud you for doing that, because that's real life Christianity today, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah. And that sounds like a graphic portrayal of what you're doing to your family, your wife and your children. But that's so much more merciful than the reality, because if you were to put them on a pagan altar and sacrifice them, you know, that's over in a matter of minutes. The pain of a daughter growing up, knowing that her father walked out on her mother, you know, obviously, you know, you'd rather have that sexual experience than to be faithful to mom. You'd rather have that sexual experience than to be to show me that marriage means something. So that's, I'm going to take that into my adulthood, and that's what that's the model I'm going to have. That's pain that lasts a lifetime, Pastor Mike.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It's not just, you know, and listen, folks, Mark and I certainly are not. We need grace as much as the next person. We're not judging in any way. We're just simply saying, you better count the cost, and you better understand it, and you better be prayed up, and you better be walking with the Lord and full of the Spirit and asking for that refreshing and refilling day by day, or it can happen to you. So don't think that you're immune somehow from Satan coming after you. If you're doing anything that's making an impact for the Lord in the community in which you live, through the local body of believers to which you belong, if you're making any kind of an impact, you are a target. You just simply are a target. And so you have to watch your eyes, watch your ears, guard your mind, guard your heart constantly, and remain in close covenant with your wife. Ladies, if you're listening with your husband, do not get yourself into any situations where that can be compromised. Even a hint of a scandal is not acceptable, because that can be a springboard into other things. So, well, Mark, let's talk about the need for Christians, especially the church leadership, to get serious about preaching the Bible and to break away from this notion that, well, let's just all get along and then we'll live happily ever after theology. I call it, well, I have various names for it. One of them is Disneyland Christianity.
That's a good one.
Because folks act like, well, you know, things are just going to go on and on and on and on forever, just like they are in America. I mean, we're the most blessed nation. God has favored us, and nothing is going to ever change in our, you know, we're going to get up on Sunday mornings and go to church as a family and out to eat after church and have a relaxing Sunday afternoon. And, you know, life's great, and it's just going to continue on. Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. It isn't right now, but it's going to get worse. America is in a very, very difficult and I might say dark period. There's a lot going on that some Christians are just sticking their head in the sand and trying to ignore. That's one of the reasons I so enjoy your books. And I'll say that I'm not saying this, folks. I'm not telling Mark this just to puff him up, because brothers don't need to do that with brothers. I don't read fiction ever. When I do, I grab a Mark Goodwin book, because it, believe it or not, it is so realistic. It's almost like reading the headlines and then writing a story about it. But it always focuses on faith, on believers, on our need to persevere, on our need to be disciples and disciple others. So, Mark, I just want to pose this question to you about Christians needing to really press their church leadership to get serious about preaching the Bible, because there are topics, that, especially things we've been talking about just briefly already, that a lot of pastors won't touch at all. And the mere suggestion that they start talking about this stuff will get you summarily dismissed. They'll just dismiss it out of hand. We're not going to talk about that. Don't you think that's a great need in the church today, that Christians need to step up and really start, like the pastors during the American Revolution, during the early days of our nation, they preached what the people needed to hear in order to stand against the tyranny of Great Britain, didn't they?
They did, and it is the pastor's job, you know. We've got to speak up for those that don't have a voice for themselves. It tells us in Proverbs, and you know, certainly for the unborn, the 3,288 children that are being murdered daily in the abortion slaughterhouses. There's no outrage over that from the pulpits. There's no outrage over the persecution of Christians by the government. If you look at you know, Kim Davis being jailed, she was jailed by the government. It's the courts that forced Sweet Cakes Bakery out of business, and you know, it was a public school that terminated Coach Joe Kennedy's employment. You know, so these are government. This is official government. The official government stance now is anti-Christian, and pastors don't want to talk about politics. There's some pastors, and that's all they do is talk about politics. And you cannot disciple a flock by talking about politics every single Sunday. You can't, just the same way that you can't disciple a flock by giving a salvation message every single Sunday. You know, but there's a time for a salvation message, and there's time to talk about politics. And if you're not talking about politics in your church, you're not really effectively discipling, because there's no way somebody could vote Democrat that could put senators and congressmen into office. Like the senators that just turned down the 5-month abortion ban, which, you know, we're talking about a human being that can live outside of the womb, Pastor Mike, and they turned down a 5-month abortion ban, and it was all the Democratic senators, you know, it's not simple majority. They needed a super majority. They needed 60 votes. They couldn't get it because they couldn't get any. I think they got two Democrats, and then of course we had two Republican senators, the woman from Alaska and the woman from I want to say Maine,
that
also would not support a 5-month ban on abortion. That is just the most satanic thing I can imagine. And if you're not telling your flock that if you put those people in office, that blood's going to be on your hand in judgment day, you are not effectively discipling your flock.
Amen, Mark. That is so true. And we can make an equivalent here, Mark. As I'm listening to you talk, I'm saying that is absolutely spot on. As parents, those of you listening as parents, aren't you outraged at the Luciferian conduct of our school officials, our government propaganda camps? Because that's what they are. They're indoctrinating your children. But aren't you outraged at the antics, the things that they're doing? Even in California, I just read recently, Mark, where California is trying to pass a bill that says parents will not be permitted under any circumstances to withdraw their children from sex education classes in California. And that is up to and including LGBT sex education, how they're going to do all this, and they use props to demonstrate this. Now, I can't imagine a Christian parent that wouldn't be so outraged that they tell the school, you can do whatever you want, but my child is not going to sit through that. Now, the reason that I bring that up is this. Pastors or ministry leaders or Bible teachers or Sunday school teachers, whatever, if you've been given an assignment where you are teaching people God's word, you're discipling them, you are in effect a type of shepherd or pastor to them. If that's your role, whether you want to understand or admit it or not, you are. And here's my question for you. Your congregants, folks, those people that you're teaching the Bible to, that are attending your fellowship, whether you're a deacon, elder, pastor, whatever you consider yourself, if you're not telling them the truth behind the news, the things that they're hearing the other 6.5 days of the week when they're not in your presence, if you're not telling them what's really going on, if you're not straightening out all the lies that the mainstream media is trying to persuade people is true. If you're not setting the record straight with all of that, then I'm going to tell you something. You're going to lose them because they're going to start believing the things that they hear from their neighbors. They're going to start believing the things they hear on television and radio. It is your responsibility, as Mark has already stated, it is your responsibility to tell people the truth, and even from the pulpit. And guess what? If people get upset about that, that's not your problem. You be faithful to the Lord to shepherd his people and let him take care of the rest. Mark, what do you think about that? Right or wrong?
You're 100% right. And then also what you said about the pastors that do that are particularly if they're employees at a church where it's the board model, you know, I'm very thankful for Calvary Chapels to have the Moses model where, you know, the pastor's employer is God.
Amen, brother.
Instead of a board, because now you got 20 other people that are and a lot of them have a business backgrounds and they're looking at tithes and things of that nature. You know, the church in Avis Crucible where they end up going, you know, there's the pastor there. His name is after they leave the one where Pastor Rob Cody falls after they leave after that, because the whole church falls apart. Because, and then also it's the way that it was handled. You know, zero transparency. You know, if you are on a board, if you are part of a church leadership, and you have that type of thing in your church, you have to be transparent. Because if you're not, people are not going to respect you. And you know, when somebody falls like that, they don't need a $500,000 severance package, because that's the widow's mite, you know. And you should not be taking that widow's mite and giving that to somebody that has fallen into sin on that level, because you're rewarding bad behavior. And if people find out about that, they're not going to tithe. And if they're loyal, faithful Christians, they're not going to attend a church where they can't tithe. So, you know, there's a whole lot of that's a whole nother issue for deacons that have to handle those types of situations. Back to what you were saying about pastors being dismissed. It was Pastor Greg Semsprott here at First Church of God in Vero Beach, where we attended for some time since we've relocated. He's very, 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 very outspoken. He loves homosexuals, but you know, but there's no justification for gay marriage, and it's a sinful lifestyle. But he loves them the same as he does a boy and a girl that are living together. They're also living in sexual sin. Very outspoken about that. Very, very outspoken about abortion and politics and things of that nature. The board decided they wanted to move into the direction of we're going to have a big building campaign, and they're putting in basically a Starbucks, and they're going to have, this isn't joking, because it's going to sound like I'm kidding around, but, you know, they're going to build it out. Like the foyer of the church is going to basically be like a mall. Well, you'll have like a little snack bar and a Starbucks, and in the middle, there's going to be a waterfall where people can get baptized, and there's going to be like a fun zone, kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese, and it's going to be like the mall. And Pastor Greg's style doesn't fit that model. That's so, sure. So they've let him go.
Oh my goodness.
It's exactly like you said. And when churches start moving, obviously, I don't think I have to even say that we don't go there anymore.
Right.
But for the record, we don't go there anymore.
I already figured that out.
it's exactly like you said. You know, it's if you do, you're sticking your neck out, and that's why there's very few pastors that'll stand up and do it in the first place. And when they do, if they're not in the Moses model, they usually get cut. And once again, the way he was let go, of course, I wouldn't want to be transparent about that either. If that's the reason I was letting a pastor go, but they stood behind the Matthew 18 model. Of saying, well, he had some leadership styles that weren't biblical, which to them, I guess biblical is you don't know what when people say that. They specifically said it wasn't any kind of a moral failure or anything like that, but they said that his leadership style wasn't biblical, and so that's their interpretation of the
wow.
Bible. And
so they didn't really have the courage of their convictions, in other words. Let's just sweep this under the rug and move on to greater things.
Yes, but they specifically called out Matthew 18, where they said, "Oh, we went to him one on one, and then we brought him to the board, and then we let him go." And that's not Matthew 18. You go one on one, then you take another brother, and then if they still won't hear, you take them before the church,
exactly.
The congregation,
exactly.
And that never happened, and they poured that whitewash right over that congregation, and they just sucked it up because they don't read their own Bibles and they don't know what Matthew 18 is. The Pope could have been there telling them that there's no hell. They don't know the difference because they don't read their own Bible.
Yeah. Well, there you go, folks. If you're at a church that has congregational polity, and I'm just going to be as honest as I can be, or as upfront as I can be. Let me say it that way. I'm always as honest as I can be. I hate it when I say stuff like that, because then people think, well, when are you not?
Anyway, transparent.
Yeah, transparent. There you go. Yeah. So congregational polity, I just have never been in favor of that. And here are a couple of reasons why. because the movers and the shakers are the people with the most influence, and that usually translates into the people that have been there the longest, have the most invested, and have the deepest pockets, usually rule the roost. In other words, they, if they're not sitting on the board, they influence the board. The board seeks them and their perspective, and the board carries out their wishes. Now, do you really want to be in a place serving the Lord or attempting to serve the Lord when you've got really a deep state, a spiritual deep state? Because that's what it really is. God calls pastors to shepherd his people. He places a responsibility upon their shoulders to follow him and be faithful to that call. Folks need to understand that their responsibility is to uphold, pray for, and encourage and correct when necessary those that have been placed in leadership over them. It isn't to listen to a board, allow a board to decide all of this stuff. It is a pastor, and it is the elders with that pastor that have been given responsibility for spiritual oversight. Folks, I can't stress that enough, and Mark, you're absolutely right. If folks will get church organization and leadership right, they can avoid a lot of these problems today. So, well, I didn't know we were going to go in that direction, Mark, but that's good because we got a lot of that stuff out there. People need to hear it. And there may be some people that disagree with that. And they say, well, too much power concentrated in something. No, listen, if you have a pastor and he has gotten involved in misconduct, you should have a procedure in your constitution and bylaws whereby you are able to talk to the pastor and if necessary, bring up charges against the pastor, and you take it to the body. And the body dismisses them. That's how it's supposed to work. That's what Mark was talking about there in Matthew 18. But so many folks don't follow that, don't use it in the right way. Well, Mark, today President Trump had a press conference. Was able to. I didn't see it live, but I did catch Breitbart's release of the video of it and watched it. And he was very, very stated very well paced, said, we're just not going to recognize this. We're just going to withdraw from this thing. And he went so far as to say, it was borderline criminal that, you know, we sent them billions of dollars in cash, for what, but to fund terror. I mean, he called Iran out. Now, my personal opinion on that is, and I don't think President Trump is blind to this, but when it comes to pulling down nations or fomenting radicals within nations, the United States has got blood on its hands too. So it's a little bit hypocritical to be talking about Iran being a state sponsor of terror when the United States government has done the same thing for the last 60 years, at least, in other countries. But that's a whole nother deal. But what do you think of Trump saying, this Iranian deal should have never happened and we're out of it? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's a really, really great idea. And I think it's something that needed to go. Like you said, it was a bad deal. It was. And we had lots of bad deals, and he's a deal maker. And, you know, that's certainly one of the things that needed to be addressed. You know, it'd be nice if we could use the money we're going to save on that deal and maybe cut our aid to Pakistan and harden the grid.
Well, that's perfect. But see, that's the kind of ideas right there. And I know you're not going to run for office, Mark. Those are the kind of ideas right now.
Oh, goodness, no.
No, no. But, yeah, why are we giving money to other nations that not only hate us, but they're sending soldiers to fight our and kill our soldiers? Why are we continuing to send money to these nations? I mean, that's just insanity.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And nations where Christians are persecuted,
yes.
Women are women are, you know, in Saudi Arabia, women aren't allowed to drive. You can't have a Bible. You can be imprisoned or for life for converting to Christianity. Yeah, and we're giving them billions and billions of dollars when we're, you know, 20 trillion showing in debt. You know, yes, if you don't count in the other 100 trillion of unfunded liabilities, and you know, with interest rates creeping up, that means that's going to be that much more of our meager 3 or 4 trillion a year that we bring in tax revenue. A bigger and bigger chunk of that is getting chewed up just by the service on the debt, just the interest.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And it's beyond a miracle. It's God's hand, in my opinion, that is preventing us from having a complete economic collapse. And I think the reason that he's preventing that right now is because the timing's not right.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of confidence and a lot of folks, jobs are up. You know, that's certainly something that's ticked up since Trump took office. The tax bill was a mixed bag, you know.
Yes.
All the bad stuff, all the things that we lost are permanent, and all of the good stuff's all temporary, you know.
Yes.
And that's
right.
You know, but boy, we ate that up.
Yes.
But it is working for now, but you know, all the temporary things, you know, Trump's likely the last Republican president we'll ever see in this country. And so all those temporary things will probably not get renewed.
Yeah,
and all of the cuts that we lost that are permanent, they'll stay on the books. So, you know,
I think I know
make hay while the sun shines, put a little something away for a rainy day because a storm is coming.
That's right. That's right. Now, Mark, I can't let that comment go without further commentary. I think I know what you meant by that, but maybe our listeners did not. You said Trump is likely going to be the last Republican president that we will have. What is that based on? What's your thinking?
It's based on unmitigated immigration. It's based on a socialist propaganda in the school system, where Christians send their kids to the re-education camps because their pastors will get fired or lose congregants if they tell them otherwise. But how else, you know, you'd have to have a dismembered education system to have kids in the street in California, this crew of Antifa that hung Trump in effigy, but every picture of any Antifa gathering there's ever been, you have people with armbands with a communist flag on their arm, and people waving flags with the A with the circle around it, which stands for anarchy. Now, anybody that's had a sixth grade civics class, of course, they don't have sixth grade civics classes because that's all part of the agenda, because if they did, you couldn't have what's going on with these kids. But you have these kids that have zero understanding of reality, thinking that anarchy and communism are somehow related. A Republican capitalist society is actually closer to either one of those extremes. Anarchy says we want zero government. Communism says we want the government to tell us, you know, what shoe to tie first, and to take all of our money and decide how it's going to get spent and who it's going to get spent on. And anarchy says we don't want government telling us anything. Not only do we not want them to tell us anything, we don't want there to be a government. So these are two polar opposites standing shoulder to shoulder, fighting against the person that's actually closer to either one of those ideas. Republican capitalist society is closer to communism. than anarchy. And then from the communist perspective, they've got more in common with the Republican capitalist society, because at least they believe in some government. While they don't believe in total government, they believe in some, whereas the anarchist believes in none. So they're completely disconnected from reality in their views, and that's all happened because their Christian parents sent them to a public school where they were told that there's no God. And just the mere fact that my Christian parents will send me to that public school means that they're putting their stamp of approval on what they're telling me. So I'm getting two different messages. I'm getting one message on Sunday and another message Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Yep. And of course it's for, you know, probably a sermonette, maybe 15, 20 minutes on Sunday. And then it's 6 hours a day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, plus homework, plus all of the music, all of the Hollywood movies, all the television shows, all the books I have to read for homework. So probably another 6 hours, probably every waking hour of my day, Monday through Friday, and most of Saturday, is spent having a communist socialist agenda shoved down my throat. And my Christian parents that send me into that think that 15-minute sermonette on Sunday is going to somehow negate everything that I've been taught all week.
Yep. And I'm just picturing, Mark, what you've just explained in detail. I'm just picturing it graphically. So we see Christianity on one axis, and we see rise of communism on the other. And it's no accident that as Christianity, the teaching and nurturing and discipling of children, young adults here in America was descending, that the teaching of socialism and communism as a solution was ascending, and now they are worlds apart. And that's why this generation is so captivated. They're deceived. Let's be clear about that. They're very deceived. But in that deception lies vulnerability for America. We are very, very susceptible. And I think that we're closer than a lot of people think, Mark, to being in serious trouble with this government, because our government, our senators, our congressmen, in my opinion, the vast, not all, but an overwhelming majority of them are just in it for their own gain and their own prosperity, and they think they can ride it out and not be touched. But when this hits the fan, Mark, everybody's going to be touched, including our politicians, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what the socialists have up their sleeve and how they're planning to get out of it. I suspect they've got some bunker or something somewhere that we don't know about, because I think they know how this all plays out.
Yeah.
And I think they've got a contingency plan for it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the game plan
it's that elitist Illuminati type. I think there's a whole bunch of them that are going to be left standing holding the bag. Yep. That, you know, their heads are going to go on the chopping blocks as well, and they don't know it. And they're the useful idiots.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of them in politics, in high level politics, that really, really don't see it at all. But you know, Soros and his lot, they've got plans. They'll be somewhere and they'll ride this all out and sit around and toast champagne while they watch the world burn.
Yep. Well, Mark, we could chew the fat on this all day. And I'm sure I'm going to get some emails say, hey, let's have a part two on that. You guys were really hitting on some things that people need to hear. Maybe we'll save that for part two. That'd be all right.
That'd be fine.
Okay. I appreciate you joining me today, Mark. And folks, the book is Avis Crucible. Avis Crucible. It's out now. And can I go ahead and tell them when 2 and 3 is going to be out?
Sure. Book two is going to be out on May the 24th, and book three will be out at the tail end of July.
Yes. So there you go.
Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
That's right. But check out Mark's site.
And Amazon doesn't ban me.
Yeah. Well, if they were going to do that, they'd have done that already, brother.
Well, I don't know. It's the noose is tightening. And
well, that's a good point.
It'll happen.
Yeah, eventually it will. You're right. Yep, you're absolutely right. All right, PrepperRecon.com, folks. Again, the book is Ava's Crucible. Get that or go out there and get the Economic Collapse Chronicles, The Days of Nothing. Listen, give them to your teenagers. Your teenagers will love these books, I'm telling you. My teenagers, my grandchildren, which are teenagers now, they love these things. Days of Noah, Days of Elijah, all these books. Great stuff. Mark, God bless you. Thanks for joining me.
Pastor Mike, thanks again so much for having me on. It's really been an honor.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, PastorMike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.